As we're walking through life, there's going to be times in our lives where we're going to start exchanging. God's going to start digging a little deeper into our lives, and we're going to have to start taking things in our lives and exchanging them for the character of God. Because the character of God, everything that God is already in you. Amen? And a lot of times it's, for us, is a matter of surrendering ourselves into the things of God. And his way of doing things. Actually, not even his way of doing things. The way he sees things. We don't see things the way the Lord sees things. We see things the way we want to see things. And the Lord will, in his grace and in his mercy, he will start to move us into a position that we can see things through his eyes. And once we see things through his eyes, then we have a choice to make. Amen. We either are going to continue in our way of doing things, and the Lord will allow that to happen in your life. You know, Israel didn't want a king, but they got a king, didn't they? In our ignorance, we can continue to do things, but God will position us to see things in his light. A classic example of this was Friday night over here. You know, we were talking about the finances of the church and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to use you, Jack. Jack said something, and I've known this for years. Instead of trying to figure out how we're going to get the finances for this church, Jack said, let's just start thanking the Lord for it. I mean, that's as simple as it got. I mean, it hit my spirit instantly. I've known that, but I had to see it through a different light. And God uses the people around us to get that light to us, amen? And now Diane and I were talking about this yesterday, and actually Friday night and a little bit yesterday. He already knows it. We know in our heart what the Lord is doing. Now we just got to position ourselves as thanking the Lord for already doing it. Because he has. Amen? Glory to God. We're going to talk a little bit today about giving God our hurts. We go through, especially this time of the year, this is a joyous time of the year. We spend time focusing on God sending his son into this earth. But there's also a time where we're with family and we're going over things and hurts and those type of things start to come up in our lives. And if we will exchange our hurts, God will give us his healing. Amen. He will heal all these hurts in our lives. He will take away the scars and that bitterness and that hurt in our life. I'm going to read a couple things here to you. You ever have a bad day like this morning? Today is a classic example of how bad things can go. I walk in here, I go to turn the lights on, the lights didn't come on. I said, okay, walked in my office, went to the bathroom. The bathroom lights didn't come on. Went in the back, the fuses are blowing. We start worship, everything's working fine, and all of a sudden we start worship and no sound. You ever have a bad day? Well, we all have them, amen? We all go through them. I want to read a couple things to you. These are actual accident reports. This is what people wrote down on their insurance claim. Leaving home for work, I drove out of my driveway and straight into a bus. The bus was 5 minutes early. This is what people actually wrote down for the cause of their accidents. I was driving my car out of the driveway in the usual manner when it was struck by another car in the same place it had been struck several times before. I've been learning to drive with power steering. I turned the wheel to what I thought was enough and found myself in a different direction going the opposite way. Can you imagine writing this stuff down to people? This is what you tell your insurance guy. One wheel went into the ditch. My foot jumped from the accelerator pedal, leaped across the lane to the other side, and jammed in the trunk of the tree. Let me read that again to you. One wheel went into the ditch. My foot jumped from the accelerator pedal, leaped across the lane to the other side, and jammed in the trunk of a tree. I was on my way to the doctor with rear end trouble. Now, I've been there. Have you ever had an when you hit 50, that will make sense to you. All right. I was on my way to the doctor with rear end trouble when my universal joint gave way, causing me to have another accident. I was knocked out as a result of the collision and was taken to the hospital where I sustained serious injuries. For all you nurses. The accident was caused by me waving to the man I hit last week. I have been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. I pulled into a lay-by with smoke coming out of my hood. I realized my car was on fire, so took my dog and smothered it with a blanket. Okay, that makes no sense. You had smoke in your car this morning, didn't you? Yeah. Did you smother your dog? No. Yep. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. A truck backed through my windshield into my wife's face. Not my wife. Amen. We've probably all had pretty bad days. Amen. All I'm trying to say is bad days come and go. I want to take you into the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had, once you flip on over into 2 Corinthians 11, I'm going to read this to you. This is Paul's day, okay? This is Paul explaining to the Corinthians about our everyday life, because really what we're talking about is everyday life, amen? 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians about his rough week, amen? I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, have faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 30 lashes. Now this is his family. Remember, he was a Jew of all Jews. He was raised within the church. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift in the sea. I have traveled on many long journeys, have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I never thought about that until I was reading this. Dangers of rivers. We take rivers as an easy way to go by, but think about this. In their time, when you came across the river, we didn't have bridges like we have today. They had to find a low place. I was out with the boys yesterday, the day before. One of my dogs got out. So I was out in the woods looking at the little creek that goes down across the street from my house. And I told the boys, I said, well, you guys can come over here and play. But I never thought about it. They can't get to the woods because they have to go through the little creek or the, it's a ditch is what it is. And this gets pretty deep in areas. But think about this. I mean, when Paul was writing this, we just think, you know, we have bridges all over. We just go across rivers. If they came across the river, sometimes they'd have to go up and down 15, 20 miles. It could be a whole day's journey to figure out how to get across it. I spent a whole night and a day in the drift of the sea. I've traveled many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities and in the deserts and on the seas. You understand what Paul's trying to get to here? I mean, we all have bad days. How bad is your day? And I have faced dangers from the men who claim to be believers, but are not. What he's saying is, I've gone to church for many years, and the people who have hurt me the most are the people I'm sitting next to. That's what he's saying. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. How bad is your day? How bad is the situation you're going through? How big is the hurt in your life compared to this? All Paul did is give you a list of what happened after he became born again. I was reading an article this week. Persecution within the church, I'm talking about the Christian church worldwide now, is at the highest level it ever has been since the birth of Christ, basically when Christ went away. We don't understand persecution or suffering within this nation. We think persecution is, you know, having to wait, or can you please pull forward while we fix your order? That's what we think persecution is. There are whole communities being slaughtered in the world today just for being Christian. How bad is your situation? How hard is the thing you're going through right now? I'm just trying to get you to a point of what we think is bad, or what we think we're going through, sometimes is minuscule compared to what other people are going through. Amen? How did Paul get through this kind of stuff? That's the first thing I thought about when I was reading this list. Because we have this idea when we come to Christ, everything becomes rosy, because that is what the Western church, and actually, I'll be honest with you, the faith movement has taught us. Oh, once you come to Christ, everything becomes rosy and nothing ever happens anymore. Your bank account fills up, you get little Cadillacs. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we teach. Everything becomes easy. But that wasn't Paul's experience, was it? Has that been any of your experience? The minute you come into the kingdom of God, what happens? You are translated from darkness to light. You went from, you'll love this, playing for the Patriots to going to play for Tennessee. You understand what I'm saying? You become an enemy of the other team. Belichick is going to stay up all night long trying to figure out how to destroy you. A classic example of that last night. Belichick was playing against, the other coach was one of Belichick's players years ago. What did Belichick do? For 2 weeks, he prepared a team to destroy his buddy. What do you think the enemy is doing in your life? Think about this. The minute you become born again, the little alarm goes on at hell. Beep, beep, beep. John just changed sides. Guess what? He sends all his little demons, he sends all his little things, all his little cohorts out to what? To distract you, to take you under. I shared this story with you guys before. When I first got saved, there was a pool hall, gambling hall, that if you went into the back of it, there was a little board and it had my name on it. And it had how many days. They were actually betting on how long I'd stay saved. How long it would be before I'm back doing what I was doing before. And they were actually gambling on it. How many days? The devil's the same way. He wants to take you out. So the minute you become born again, things are going to start to rise again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is not a checkers game where we all kumbaya at the end of it. There's a winner and a loser. Thing is, you've already won. Amen? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you will be put to shame. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you got to remember, there is an adversary. And as you come into the kingdom of God, and as you start to walk in the kingdom of God, things are going to come against you. And we need to learn how to deal with them. And as we learn how to deal with them, then we need to learn how to program them or put them into our lives where we can use those to minister to others. Because guess what? You're the beginning of the next person coming to the Lord. When you come to the Lord, all you are is that first piece to the next person coming in. And we are what? Christ called us the ministers of reconciliation. Christ uses you to get the next person in line. So out of our hurts, out of our rejection, out of our things that we go through in life, we have to learn from them so that we can do what? Minister to the next person in line. Amen? Go with me over to 2 Corinthians. He wrote about it at the beginning of his second letter. How do we get through this kind of stuff? As I read this, I'm just going to break it down for you. He goes through this list of things in chapter 11. This is his mindset here in 2 Corinthians 1. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a merciful Father and the source of all comfort." Who's he depending on? On the Father. He's depending on the Father to get him through every one of the situations that he went through. The God of what? All comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can what? Comfort others. Remember, it's a transition. He's trying to get through you to get to where? The next person. It's always an exchange. It's always an exchange as we go down. If we give him our hurts, he'll give us his healing. If we give him our sin, he gives us his righteousness. As we give him our sickness and our disease, he'll give us our what? Our healing. As we give up and give our problems, our troubles, our trials, because that's what they are in our lives. They're all trials, and we all have them. The enemy is going to make sure you go through trials. God is trying to position us just like he did Friday night in that room. Did Jack say anything that I didn't know? No. He just said it in a way that it registered into my head. All of a sudden, I could change. I saw the perspective. I said, wow, there it is. All I got to do is change a couple things that I'm doing internally in my own life. Amen? Because that's what I had to do. I had to change. I've been sitting there trying to figure out, and we all do this, try to figure out how I can do this, how I can do this, how I can do this, so that we can afford a building. But the Lord already said, and if you look at everything and externally, the Lord has already put us in the building. He's already talked to all of us. He's talked to me. He's talked to my wife. Hey, it's your building. But I'm trying to figure out how he's going to do it. Why try to figure out how he's going to do it and just let him do it and start thanking him for doing it? All it was is a perspective change in my head. Amen? So that now it makes it easier. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. I learn more from you than you learn from me. Amen. We were just in a stinking meeting, a business meeting, and the Spirit of God changed the whole perspective of something. Now I can start walking in it. Amen. Hallelujah. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can be comfort to others. When they are in trouble, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. That's exactly what I'm trying to get to. Because my perspective has changed, because I allowed the Lord to change my heart. We're talking about my heart here, my position, the way I was looking at things. Now, I'm going to be able to change and help other people get through this. Amen. It wasn't anything profound, was it? But it was something simply that was said that changed my perspective, that now I can now minister life and light to somebody else. Amen. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more we go through trials, the more we start to go through tribulation, the more we start to struggle with our walk with the Lord, and the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Amen. We get ourselves so wrapped up in our situation that we don't see the answer to it. Just like Jack shared Friday night. And the devil does this in our life. He makes us chase our tail. My Malamute chases his tail all the time. He just runs around in a circle. And he doesn't understand that if he just stood there, he could bite it. But he keeps chasing it. And that's what the devil does to us. You know, here we are trying to figure out things, boom, 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 boom. And all it was is one little word that's spoken into the spirit that changes your way you're seeing things. And next thing you know, boom, everything comes into focus. Amen? That's what Paul was trying to get to us. Don't get yourself so wound up on the issues that are going on in life. There's two big challenges when you get overwhelmed with things. The first thing is, when you give your problems to God, he will give you his comfort. When we start to spend time with our Father, going over what's going on in our life, our everyday life, he will start to bring comfort into your life. He will speak the word that you need for that situation. Amen? Because what we do is we run around from person to person to person to person to that guy. Well, he's an expert on this, trying to get their opinions on it. Amen? The first place we need to go is to our Father. We need to settle ourselves down before our Father, and we need to say, okay, Lord, this is where I'm at. Paul speaks of God with a sort of little nickname, the God of all comfort. He knows the situation you're in. He knows the hurts that you have. He knows how to heal you. Amen? Paul said, God comforts us in all of our troubles. Let's define troubles. Troubles are afflictions, annoyances, or inconveniences. And we all have them. We all have inconveniences. We all have annoyances. I know for my son, JD, it's every time he sits at the table with his brothers annoy him the way they eat. They chop their, I don't know what it is. All I hear is from one end of the house is him yelling at his brothers. We all have annoyances in our life. The devil's the same way. Amen? None of the problems you face are too small for God, and none of the problems you are facing are too big for your Father to take care of. And what we have to do a lot of times is just sit down, spend time with our Father in him, allow him to strengthen us, get our eyes off of the forest so that we can get our eyes on the tree, our Father. Amen. When we go to him, we get our eyes on him, everything will come into focus down here. The bottom line is, there is never too big of a situation for your Father to take care of. And then for us men in the room, because we're men, there's never a problem too small to take to our Father. Because we think we can handle it. A man thing is, well, we can deal with it, we can take care of it. We can handle it. Why not just allow him to give us his perspective on it? Amen? Go on over to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want to kind of take you into this. This is God's answer to our every situation you're going to deal with in life. It says, if my people who are called by my name, I was in there praying about this morning, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. What does humble mean? Be honest with yourself. Know where you're at and come to your Father and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. As I was going over things this morning, the Lord just kind of laid this on. All we have to do is lay ourselves at the Father's feet. He will change our perspective on our situations in our lives, our hurts, our turmoil in our life, the things that we're struggling with, the sin in our life. All we have to do is set our eyes on our Father. He will speak life into our heart. That's light. He will bring light into our lives, and then all we have to do is respond. And as we receive that healing from the Father, and I don't care, you can call it sin, you can call it whatever you want to do, but sin is nothing more than disobedience to the Lord. Amen? Being raised a Catholic, we had mortal sins and convenial sins and different kind of sins. All sin is allowing the enemy a foot in our life. The Lord starts to take his light and shine it onto us. Amen? We see it. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 that there is no sin that is uncommon to man, but God is faithful to make a way of escape. We have to make a choice. Every time we sin, we have to make a choice. Amen? To sin or not to sin. But that's true in every area of our life. We can choose to be hurt. We can choose to forgive. We can choose to harbor resentment, or we can choose to forgive. Understand what I'm saying here? Our position in life is based on our choices that we make. As light comes into our situation, whatever that situation, whether it's a hurt or it's a sin that we're dealing with or it's any area of our life, as that light comes in, we have a choice to make. We can either wallow in where we're at. You know, we talk about this all the time, going around the same mountain. And we all have friends that do it, don't we? They can never get ahead because they're making the wrong choices. All they have to do is, when the Lord brings that light into our, just like me, we'll go back to Friday night. I got a choice to make now. The light came in through a brother. This is what he said. The minute he said it, it bore witness where? In my heart or in my spirit. Now I have to change. I can either continue to go, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Or we can put myself in a position of what? Of praise. Once you put yourself in a position of praise, that's where the Lord wants us. So all of a sudden that releases the what? The power of God to take care of it. I know that's just one simple illustration of it, but you can use that illustration in every area of your life. On every hurt, on everything that's ever happened in your life. It's very clear in salvation. It's very clear in righteousness. You can either sit in your unrighteousness and you can see yourself as unrighteous or as a sinner, or you can take it in the light that God, he took our sin, he became sin for us so that we would what? Become the righteousness of God. You can either take it or you can leave it. He's not going to force you. But the bottom line is, as you walk in the light of his righteousness, all of a sudden, as you walk through that veil, because that's a good way to put it, you know, he ripped the veil. As you walk through the veil, you walk into the Holy of Holies. You walk into the presence of God, and all of a sudden you see all the goodies that righteousness brings. Because the devil is holding you in bondage because of a lack of receiving what he's already done. But once you see it in light, you get to walk through the veil, and all of a sudden you get to see the next level of the Lord. We live like when we get to heaven, it's going to be better. We should be acting and living like heaven's already here on earth. Isn't that what Jesus taught the disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven. What's it? As it would be on earth as it is in heaven. Think about that. That's exactly what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. It's perception. If the devil will keep you in bondage to being bound, you will never walk in the freedom. Exchanging. You got to exchange your bond for his freedom. It's that simple. It's that easy. But guess what? It's a lifelong walk. But if you don't allow God to come in and spend time and change your perspective of things, you're never, ever going to walk out in the power of God. Amen? When God gives you comfort, he gives you comfort so that you can comfort others. I know I'm being redundant here, but the bottom line is, he's done it. He sent his son to the earth so that you can become the righteousness of God. And he's done that in you. But did he do it for you? He's done it for the whole world. And he wants to use you to speak comfort, speak life into your neighbors. We are nothing more than a tool for Jesus to touch the world. You are the Jesus that the world is going to see. You are the Jesus that's going to heal. If Christ is going to heal on the earth today, who's he going to use? He's going to use you and me. If Christ is going to deliver in the world today, who's he going to use? He's going to use you and me. If God is going to touch your neighbor, how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through you and me. We have to exchange. We've got to move from one position into another. And as he brings healing in our life, he will exchange that hurt for healing. Once we walk in that healing, once we walk in that freedom, it becomes easier for us to share it with somebody else. And what's Jesus' response? No one comes to the Father except through him. That the Holy Spirit is already at work on everybody else in the world. So if he knows that he has, I'll use me, in our little situation, Friday night. So now that he knows that he has somebody that has got the perception of, man, it's not a matter of how to get it done, it's a matter of thanking him for what he's already done, now he's going to start sending people who are struggling in that area, right, into my life that I can start sharing that with. We overcome by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What God has done in your life. Comforting others. Speaking words of encouragement to others. That's how we're going to fill this building. It ain't going to be coming here on Sunday morning and listening to me. It's going to be you speaking comfort into your neighbors, into your coworkers, into the people you come across every day. I didn't design it this way. I didn't think it up this way. If it was up to me, I'd put Jesus or God, his little face up in the sky and say, hey, I'm here. I'm real. Everybody show up and worship me. That'd be the easy way to do it. You know, what's that? Yeah, bad signal. Yeah, there are other ways to do it. But he has chosen this way. It's a much simpler way. But it also shows what? The love of God. He said in his word, the love of God has been wet, shed abroad in your heart. That's what happens. The character of God. That's all righteousness is the character of God. The love of God who's already been put in you. And how he's going to touch the world is through you. Through your obedience. And through your love and care. And choosing the healing balm of the Lord. He will heal your hurts. He will take all those things that Paul listed. He could have chosen to live in bitterness. He could have chosen to look at his situation and go, well, I can't do this because of this. I can't. Look at man, all they are excuses. What are excuses? Excuses don't get you anywhere. All they are reasons why not to do things. God has given us opportunity. And that's what he wants to work through us. He is the God of all comfort. When you walk through troubles and trust your Father, receiving his comfort, it's like going to school and learning how to comfort others. Amen? Use the things that you're struggling with in your life to learn and how to take those things in your life and minister to other people around. If you want to know what comforting someone looks like, look at the ministry of Jesus. Think about Jesus. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, reading the gospel. How did Jesus deal with everybody? How did Jesus deal with when they brought the woman who was caught in adultery? Look at the grace, the mercy that came. Look at the people. I love the woman at the well. If you read the story, the lady's bashing them, being rude to them, calling them names, basically ridiculing the Messiah. Because that's who he was. He was the Messiah. And she's sitting there ridiculing him. And how did she deal with it? He just, in love, yeah, you'll thirst some more, but if you drink from me, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. And he ministered love to her. Yeah, you've been married 5 times, and the one you're living with too. It wasn't condemning, was it? There was always a love. There was always Every person he came in touch with, he healed. He set free. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at how he dealt with people. One of the things I saw, this is on a Todd White video a while back. He was ministering healing to a lady. And she'd been prayed for 3 or 4 times. The lady said, well, people have told me I don't have enough faith. And Todd just stopped her and said, wait a minute. Did Jesus ever say that? He never said it. He never condemned. He always built up. Look at the life of Jesus. I mean, he is our example of how we should be ministering to people around us. I'm not into big writing your troubles down and bringing to prayer. The bottom line is, you know the areas you're struggling with in your life. You know the areas you need help with in your life. Take time, spend time with the Lord. Allow him to heal you. And that's all he was saying in 2 Chronicles. You know, he's talking about sin there. But I don't care. It doesn't have to be sin. It's a matter of spending time. If we will humble ourselves, if we will come in a position of allowing the Lord to bring light into our lives, he will heal us, he will give us direction, and he will show us how to reach people on the outside that don't know him. And I'll be honest with you, just like it happened to us Friday night, iron sharpens iron. Amen? Within the body. The body is the safest place right here that we'll ever be in. Just like your family. And I'm going to say this. The people who are closest to you will hurt you the most. Okay? Why? Because you love them. You're open to them. Same thing within the body of Christ. There are a lot of things that we've all experienced in our church past. Amen? Don't allow those things to dictate and to hold you in bondage to where the Lord wants to take you. If you do, you'll never experience the glory that he wants you to walk in. Amen? I wrote this down. When we come to our Father with our hurts, he will give you his healing. Then you will become an instrument for his use in healing others. The key is you are the instrument. You are the tool that God wants to use to reach others. And as we come to him, as we allow him to heal our hurts, our mistrust, our lack of faith, as we allow him to do that in us, he will bring healing and comfort into our life so that we can then, in turn, teach and heal the people around us. Amen? If you go through the Bible, what Paul dealt with and what Jesus dealt with, when Jesus sent the 12 out, what he was saying is go look for the head of the household. Because if you can get the head of the household saved, filled, and healed, you'll get 12 people around him. Allow the Lord to heal us. Start here first. Allow him to comfort us. Allow him to move in our life so that we can be used as that instrument and that tool to heal others. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we just bring our hurts. We bring our rejection to you, Father. And Father, we know, Lord God, they rejected you first. And Lord, you didn't shun them. You didn't turn them away, Father. You embraced them and called them in. And Lord, work in our lives. Change us within our hearts so that we can be used as tools and instruments of reconciliation to this nation, to our neighbors, to our families. Father, heal us so that we can be used to comfort those around us and those that you put across our path every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.